Westminster Weekend, up next on Abounding Grace Radio. Join us. Pastor Chris Gordon, and on behalf of the Linden United Reformed Church, we bring you Westminster Weekend.
Thanks, Chris. Hi, this is Scott Clark for Westminster Weekend. Westminster Seminary, California is 30 years old, and we're celebrating our anniversary by looking at our past and looking forward to our future by talking to our faculty about how they got here. Today, we begin a two-part series with the Reverend Dr. Michael Horton, J. Gresham Machen Professor of Systematic Theology and Apologetics at Westminster Seminary, California.
Well, it's great to have you here.
Thanks for having me.
And it's fun to spend some quality time together. I guess a lot of folks don't know that you haven't always been Reformed. They might pick up one of your books and say, well, you know, here's one of these hard-nosed Reformed guys who has it all figured out, and he's probably always been this way.
No, actually, very, very different from that. I wrote my first book, which was Mission Accomplished, actually, as an attempt to, A, think through my own transition out of the background I'd been raised in, which was a strong evangelical, though Arminian, a strong evangelical Bible-preaching, Bible-teaching church. My folks were Christians, and my mom especially was a daily Bible reader and engaged me in daily devotions, and we started arguing about things as I began to discover with the help of some others, including my own older brother, some wonderful truths in Romans. And then I started reading the Puritans and Reformed theologians. I was in a very Arminian Pentecostal Christian school at the time. And as I was learning the doctrines of grace and asking questions in class, I found greater and greater hostility to it. And so I had to defend it. And then I went on to public school, and I had to defend the whole Christian faith with my friends. And all of these were really wonderful opportunities to dig more deeply and to know what I believed and why I believed it. And eventually started going to Reformed churches and realized that the Reformed expression of Christianity is not just the five points of Calvinism, but it's the whole a whole way of looking at the Bible, a whole way of looking at salvation, a whole way of looking at the world in through the lens of creation, fall, redemption, consummation. And so the second reason I wrote that first book was to try to convince my family members of the truth of the doctrines of grace. And so, no, very, very definitely my coming to Reformed Christianity was not all at once. It certainly wasn't something that I was raised in. But I'm glad for even the Arminian Baptist background I was raised in that did appreciate the Bible.
Now, when people make a change like this, it's in a context, obviously. And what is it that caused you to begin to wonder whether you were seeing things rightly and maybe if there wasn't another way of looking at things?
Yeah, Romans 4 was a big one for me. All of the many of the first aha moments came through reading Romans. Romans 4, the justification of the ungodly. I had heard, of course, about forgiveness and the need to have our sins forgiven. I would ask Jesus into my heart every morning when I got up just to make sure that I didn't miss heaven by a technicality. And but I had never heard about justification. At least I don't remember hearing about justification, that we're actually declared righteous on account of Christ, not just forgiven. And that was a new moment. And then, of course, when I got to Romans chapter 9, I remember throwing my Bible across the room. I was so frustrated with what I read there about a sovereign God who can have mercy on whom he will have mercy and have compassion on whom he will have compassion. That kind of God seemed altogether too free to me. Mm-hmm. I wanted to be freer than God.
Well, that's interesting because that's not the way people think of Reformed folks. They don't imagine that anyone would look at Romans 9 and struggle. They assume, I think, at least my experience suggests, that they assume that, you know, we sort of start there and we work out from there everything else that we believe on the basis of what must be true on the basis of Romans 9.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it wasn't that way at all. I was simply reading Romans, and my pastor told me, I think you're becoming a Calvinist. And as if he just told me I had cancer. And I maybe, what exactly is that? And I went back and I looked it up in the encyclopedia, and I said, yeah, well, that is what I am.
Oh, interesting. What did you think when you realized I might be on the verge of becoming a Calvinist? Did you think, oh no, I need to reverse course? Or how did you overcome the prejudice maybe with which you had been raised?
I thought my first instinct when he said that was that maybe I'm wrong. I mean, he knows a lot more about the Bible than I do. You know, maybe I need to look into this. At the same time, I was tremendously liberated by the good news of the gospel and the wonderful comfort and assurance of a God who is sovereign and who saves from start to finish. That was wonderfully comforting. And even more than that, it just connected with reality. And you know what happens when you actually sort of run aground on reality? It's just there, and there's no turning back. And I realized that this is the God who's there. This is not the manageable deity who exists to make me happy and make sure that I'm having a good time. This is the God who is bigger than all of my hopes and aspirations, and the God who is the central character of this unfolding story. I'm not the central character in the unfolding plot of history. He is, and I'm a supporting actor.
In the 17th century, John Bunyan gave us the character Mr. Valiant for Truth. In the 20th century, God gave us another Mr. Valiant for Truth, J. Gresham Machen, the founder of Westminster Seminary. The spirit of Machen lives on at Westminster Seminary, California, where for 30 years we've been fulfilling his vision of training men for ministry and preparing them to be expert in the Bible. WSCAL.edu, 888-480-8474, Westminster Seminary, California. For Christ, his gospel, and his church.
So that, I think, was something, there was no turning back. And so I think that at that point, I began to realize that I was just in the wrong church.
Hmm. Had you ever met a Calvinist?
Yes. Even at that point, I had. He hadn't called it Calvinism. He was a chiropractor. Hmm. And he hadn't called it Calvinism, but he had recommended some books. And then after that event with my pastor, I started going to the Philadelphia Conference on Reformed Theology. Uh-huh. Got to know James Montgomery Boyce and R.C. Sproul and J.I. Packer and others. And that thus began in my high school days, a great trek toward things reformed. And I discovered, really, with each new year, deeper implications of this wonderful theology, and I still am. It's amazing. I still haven't gotten to the point where I can say, oh, now I know what Reformed theology is, because Reformed theology is just a summary of Christianity. Mm-hmm. It doesn't purport to be a different religion. That's why I'm not happy with the term the Reformed faith. There is no Reformed faith. There's a Christian faith. Reformed confessions, I believe, interpret that faith most biblically.
Obviously, you continue going through high school, and you're in college. When do you begin thinking about ministry, about becoming a teacher? Obviously, you've already started writing.
I always wanted to be a pastor.
Always?
Always, all my life. I can't remember a time when there were those, you know, fireman doctor moments. Mm-hmm. But I really wanted to be a pastor as far back as I can remember. My mom. I can't find it, and I'm not going looking for it. My mom had this tape of me preaching on a soapbox, literally.
We know where that tape is. We're saving that tape for a very special occasion.
When I was a wee one, and I would regale my cousins with my horrible preaching, and I think that probably it is one of the reasons why so many of my cousins are estranged from the faith.
Did you have a set up an altar and have them come forward? And
I remember in one of the pieces of that sermon, I was like, my mom says that I was 4.5 or 5. I remember saying, now if you know, if you're a Roman Catholic or a Presbyterian, then you need to be converted. You need to believe in Jesus. You need to accept Jesus into your heart. The theology has changed somewhat since then.
And as you went through school, how did your sense of ministerial vocation change, and how did it develop?
Well, I went to Biola University. I went to Biola University after high school, and I then went to this seminary, Westminster Seminary, California. And
why here, by the way? I mean, you had other options. So how did you work through that decision?
I knew since high school that this is where I wanted to come. I wanted to go to Westminster Seminary, Philadelphia. Mm-hmm. I wasn't aware of California then. It was brand new. And I remember coming to meet Robert Strimple years and years ago. This was when I was, I guess, a junior in high school. Mm-hmm. And Westminster Seminary, California, was meeting in a storefront in San Marcos. That was the seminary. Yeah. And but I just knew, especially after talking to Dr. Strimple, that it was people with people like him that I wanted to study. And I had read John Murray's writings. I was becoming very indebted to the work of Westminster professors. So I just knew this was the place, and was in no way, shape, or form dissatisfied. If anything, it was better than I'd imagined.
So you go through college and you find yourself in seminary. Was it what you expected?
Yeah, it was. In many ways, it was better. You know, to get to know people I had only met at conferences. Mm-hmm. They were, you know, up front. They were. I had read their books and articles, and I thought of them as, you know, most of my friends thought of baseball players. You know, just the very possibility that you could get to know professors you respected and read.
Did you spend time with them here?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And that was a surprise to me. That was a shock that I would be able to meet them and maybe say hi in the hallways. Was one thing, but to be actually able to day after day meet with them, go to lunch with them, stop by their offices and ask a question, I don't think that you have a mix of accessibility and working scholarship in a community quite like this.
Thanks, Mike. That's it for Westminster Weekend. I'm Scott Clark. Thanks for listening. You can order Dr. Horton's books at the bookstore at Westminster Seminary, California, wscal.edu/bookstore. Be sure to join us again next week, same time, same station, for part 2 of this interview and another episode of Westminster Weekend. Find us on the web at wscal.edu or call us at 888-480-8474 or email us at weekend@wscal.edu. And now here's Pastor Chris Gordon.
Westminster Weekend was brought to you by the United Reformed Church here in Linden. We are a church where the Bible is sincerely believed and faithfully taught. As always, we give you an invite to join us for worship. 10 a.m. and 7 p.m. are the worship service times on the Lord's Day. You can visit us on the web at lindenurc.com, or you can give us a call, 360-318-0429. Again, that web address is lindenurc.com. We thank you for tuning in today. May the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ continue to richly bless you.